Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Happy Super Bowl week. You know, it's actually happening. The Sports Doctor, all things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, LER Review Magazine, and the new exciting MVP Parent Magazine and Right Fit Sports Fitness. We've got a great doubleheader today. We've got Dr. Holly Benjamin, professor of pediatric sports medicine and orthopedics. She's the director of primary care sports medicine. She's returning after quite a while, along with one of her longtime colleagues, Gina Pongetti, physical therapist. She's an author, writer, gymnastics coach, and she's the co-owner of Achieve Orthopedic Rehab Institute. And the Sports Doctor's in. But first, let's welcome back a pediatric sports medicine specialist, Dr. Holly Benjamin. Welcome back.
Thank you, Bob. It's so great to be back.
Seems like yesterday. Give us, Holly, some background on your great career and what you're presently doing.
It really does seem like yesterday. I think last time there was even snow on the ground when we met together, and we've got a snowy Chicago right now. So time flies. I have been a sports medicine pediatrician specialist since my fellowship training in 1997, and it has been quite a ride to just see how sports continues to evolve for youth athletes. And it's been interesting to see the new problems come up and just how we continue to be challenged by some of the old problems that kids have with youth sports. So I think I spend the vast majority of my day is spent dealing with all kinds of sports injuries in kids of all ages. And I think, you know, the majority of those are orthopedic, musculoskeletal injuries. But it's really one of the joys of my practice has been taking care of just about any sport-related problem that an athlete has. So I take care of concussions, eating disorders, stress fractures, you know, all the overuse, overtraining injuries, things like that. And then, of course,
you know,
COVID has come in.
Yes. What's interesting is the, you know, like you mentioned, some of these new problems with bigger kids, faster kids, stronger kids, and some of the old problems like overkill with a capital O. It's the reason that I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, because of the epidemic in capital letters of youth sports overuse injuries, too much, too soon, too aggressive. You've been in the middle of that, you know, for all of these years, and it still continues to be quite a challenge, doesn't it? Trying to stay away from, you know, injuries happen, they've always happened. But some of these overuse injuries and repetitive motion injuries at younger and younger ages, right? It's a big, big, big business, youth sports.
Youth sports is a big business, and I am going to honestly tell you that a lot of the information that you have in Hey Sports Parents is something that I used to just have to say over and over and over, day after day after day, to parents, and now it's really great to have a resource to refer them to, because you really do, as you know, overuse injuries are kind of, in some ways, the same old kind of thing in my life. It's what I was telling people 20 years ago about, you know, like you said, too much, too soon, and things like that. I'm still having those same conversations. So one of the best examples, go ahead.
Go ahead. Yes. The of course, this is why I always ask specialists like yourself, right in the middle of all of this, I ask you how your psychology skills are, right, with the parents and the kids and the coaches, right? That's just, you're in the middle of it.
That's right. Well, you know, psychology skills, I think, are better than they were 20 years ago, but they're important. And I think there's a few things. One message I always like to get out to your audience, but to all athletes, is kids are resilient. And the vast majority of time, we can make them better. They have to be willing, just like school, be willing to go along with the program and be open to suggestions, listen to things they don't always want to hear about potentially time off or changing, you know, their lifestyle and their training. But the kid communication skills are also really important.
Now, the University of Chicago, where you've been, all these years, a leader in so many fields, you know, one of the chapters in my book is called The Challenge of Youth Sports and Drugs. And I wasn't talking performance-enhancing drugs. I was talking about routine over-the-counter painkillers that so many of these young athletes live on in order to stay in the game, in order to keep on playing. And this continues to be such a big challenge. Do you find that also?
Absolutely. You can quote me on this. One of my favorite things to say is that ibuprofen is not a vitamin. Not something you should be taking every day, or acetaminophen.
Great.
That's a great point. Yep.
That's why, you know, Holly, that's why I renamed years ago, for fun, not really, I renamed performance-enhancing drugs. You know what I renamed them?
What?
Performance-surviving drugs. This was the reality at almost whatever. Those are the two great quotes in our next book. Your quote that you just said, plus the one that I said, that ibuprofen's not a vitamin. You know, this dramatic amount of medicine many times it's taken because you're hurting and you got to play and the pressure's on. And, of course, I include big time in the category of overuse injuries, both physical and mental. You know, both of us are very, very familiar of what I characterize, for instance, in the book, Svengali coaches, you know, or parents, these way overzealous people who are pushing these kids. And that, again, looking at something like ibuprofen as a routine pain. I tell parents all the time a third quote, which is, if your son or daughter needs over-the-counter pain medicine to stay in the game, you are over the line. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, live from Chicago, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go to radio shows, you can go back, gosh, almost 10 years. You could probably catch Dr. Benjamin maybe once or twice on, as well as Gina. In the past, you could see who was on, what were the topics, where these individuals, we must have 24 guests on from Australia, our shows played in England. If you go over newspaper articles and magazines, you can read an array of things that we published in one of our supporters, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, so much different information. Again, we're talking with Dr. Holly Benjamin, who is the director of primary care sports medicine, along with this big-time subspecialty of pediatric sports medicine, where we start to see some of these individuals who are playing so early. Where could people find out more information about you and all your articles and all these other things you've been involved with, Holly?
Oh, sure. So www.uchospitals.edu is probably the easiest way to link to my hospital profile. And then there's various links as well there to certain publications and even just Google. I've actually Googled myself and I pop up pretty easily,
yeah, right.
Which is great. So I will say, I think one of the great joys of being at University of Chicago is the opportunity to provide education to my patients, but also my peers, other doctors, coaches, athletic trainers, physical therapists. It's just like you do with your show. It's really important that I'm a big team player, big team approach. And I will tell you one message I wanted to say today to athletes out there is that you do better playing along with your team and utilizing, you know, your team to make you healthier and a better athlete. Can we talk just for a minute on sports specialization?
Absolutely.
Okay. So back 20 years ago, I think you and I chatted about early sports specialization, and with the rare exception of a few sports like gymnastics where girls peak very early,
there's a chapter in my book, Holly. It's called The Prodigy Sport.
Yes,
and
The Prodigy
Sport. It is exactly
sport.
About, I'll put figure skating, of course, one of my big-time subspecialties in there. We're even seeing it in tennis and or soccer, where no matter how many times you tell this kid to play other sports, because this is the best way, they don't want to. But continue with your perspectives on the specialization challenge.
Well, I was just going to point out that we have now generated some data and some research to really back up what we always knew, was that the vast majority of kids that specialize early don't successfully go on to elite levels. So they may or may not, they may, because of injury, may not even make it to the college level. But if you really look at the professional level, there have been many surveys that have gone back and found that a multi-sport junior high and high school athlete generally has less injuries and is more likely to have higher success at an Olympic level or a professional level or semi-pro level, and even a Division I collegiate level where there's scholarships and, you know, money involved and things like that. And have you found that to be true in the skating world?
I agree with you. Yes, I absolutely agree with you. But again, when we're dealing with the ballet is another one, where we're dealing with these specializations, you know, we need to understand that, number one, that's the reality. This is what this young boy or girl wants to do. I mean, you know, the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist figure skater who grew up in our area of the world, Evan Lysacek, he was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skate. You know, 12 years later, he was the best in the world, and this is what he was doing. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old skates. Mm-hmm. But we do pay big attention to some of the things you've always talked about, which is, okay, if this is the reality, then we need to really pay big attention to some specialized training because of these, you know, what we call, right, repetitive motion injuries. You know, if you're swinging a tennis racket 5,000 times a week, Bob Guida, my famous sports therapist friend, would say, you know, train those opposites, you know.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of education going in. What are some of the teams in different sports that you're involved with?
Oh, gosh, Bob. I pretty much cover all sports because it varies a little bit season to season. So I cover all high school sports and college sports. And then I do spend a significant amount of time with club gymnastics. I take care of the Chicago Sky, the WNBA basketball team.
You must be excited.
Yes.
My old friend, you must be very excited. She's coming back.
Yes, Candace Parker.
Candace Parker. Yes.
She's
huge.
Awesome.
This is like MJ coming back to Chicago. So that's very, very exciting. And the explosion of women's sports and all sports has just been remarkable. Now, Dr. Benjamin has always been one of the very important initiators of big attention with concussions. You wrote about that, the challenges of that in your contribution to hashtag #HeySportsParents. And we've come a long way, baby, in so much awareness. What's your perspective now on how the youth sports medicine world is doing in relationship with concussions and the coaches and parents' understanding?
You know, I think the youth sports world and the academic world's in a very good place right now with sport concussion. And I'll tell you, two things have changed since I started on this journey in the 90s. One is, it is now important that when in doubt, sit the kids out, kind of mantra. So if you suspect a head injury, it is no longer swept under the rug, ignore it in youth sports, put them back, keep them playing, deal with it later. It's very much sit out, get them diagnosed. If they have a concussion, help them to get better. Schools are doing a good job. That's been newer with return to play and return to learn. So it used to be about all sports, you're in or out to play, but now we're doing a good job with schools too about kids that when they get a concussion, what's the number one symptom? It's a headache, right? Difficulty concentrating, fatigue, and all of that. Schools are doing a good job with helping kids, not hurting their grades, accommodations, making life easier. So I think we're in a good place with concussion.
Yes, you were one of the innovators who really paid big attention to being much, much, much more aware from the old days when someone said how many fingers and sent somebody back in the game. And it's really great that you've been able to come back and really spend some time with us on the sports doctor. And the relationship, as you see it again, between the sports medicine doctor, coaches, parents, minute or two we have left. You feel that that's also come in a real good direction?
Oh, yes, I think so. I think people have to recognize that it's a real team player. When you want to see an orthopedic surgeon, their number one goal is to determine if you need surgery or not. And that's fine because that's very important. That can be life-changing. But when you are dealing with all the gamut of sports injuries, and you're really worried about, you know, how you can keep going with your sport, how you can get healthy, what's a safe way to return to play, how do you modify and stay in shape. Sports medicine people love athletics. They understand sports. And a sports medicine person is a good place to start for athletes because we talk the same talk. We walk the same walk. We understand where you're coming from. We have a very broad perspective. So, and
the
and
category.
We spent time.
Yeah, the title and the category, Holly. Again, director, primary care sports medicine. The title itself is such a big deal. Dr. Holly Benjamin, pediatric sports medicine physician. Holly, give me that website real quick again where people could see your million articles.
Oh, sure. www.uchospitals.edu. You can Google me. I do have a LinkedIn profile. So I'm trying to be modern. I'm getting to be an old dog.
I hear you, man. I'll spread the word. Hold on, Holly. We'll be right back, everybody. It's Sports Talk. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts
in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody. We are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I'm excited to have Gina Pongetti come back. Gina, she's an author. She's a writer. She's been a gymnastics coach at the Olympic level and down for a long time. She's a co-owner of Achieve Orthopedic Rehab Institute. She's launching a new podcast also sometime soon. And Gina's taking care of the Broadway show world when they would come through Chicago for who knows how many years. And for a lot of respect. So, Gina Pongetti, welcome back.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. I appreciate it. I love how you said I have been a coach at lots of levels, not quite at the Olympic level, but the medical side is what I do when I take care of our Olympians, and that's obviously what brought us together with our love and passion for treating elite athletes and taking care of them, mind, body, and soul. And I appreciate everything that you do for
Gina,
athletes above and beyond the feet.
Gina collaborated with me and the famous bootmaker, Mr. Edge, John Hermada, 8 years ago, I just sent you that picture.
It has been a while. It has been a long time.
Anatomy of a Figure Skating Injury. Gina, give us some background on your incredible career leading up to what you're up to.
I was a gymnast for 14 years and got very injured, two back injuries and a major knee injury, and decided that I wanted to go into sports medicine in order to try to make the world of gymnastics a safer place for all. It was on my mind with every single class I took, every paper I wrote, and I got involved with the national organization starting even in 1998 before my official first assignment in 2000. And I am still kind of on that flight of making it a better place, both privately and through national governing body, but more so now, instead of just physical, layering in the psychological components, anti-bullying campaigns, safe sports, many of the most recent, very public cases that I'm sure most people know about, I am incredibly involved in, and it does definitely take a special touch to be able to connect with athletes who have been through so much psychological damage in the most recent times, simply because of the stress and pressures. And we just want to make it a more fun, safe environment.
Gymnastics is famous. One of my frequent guests and a contributor to my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, a colleague of yours, Robert Andrews, coach with the Great Institute of Sports Performance in Texas, with his wall of gold medals and some of these gals he's worked with. And that fits right into the attitude you've always had, which was, like you said, the whole mind-body connection in sports medicine and including youth sports is such a big deal. And I'm really, really glad to see that it's really getting more and more of the valuable attention it needs.
Unfortunately, I think it's getting the attention just like the Hollywood world was getting the attention, because an incident happens, it makes it public, and then it makes people feel safe that they can actually come forward and talk about it. You know, pushing through injuries and telling athletes to ignore things, and the power struggle that goes on between the athlete and the coach is just not okay. And the athletes need to understand that they need to stand up for themselves physically and emotionally, especially in a sport that involves fear, like gymnastics and diving and other things where it's not just like, you know, if you run and you fall, it's different than in gymnastics where it's life or death situation if you're not focused.
You know, so, your longtime colleague, Dr. Holly Benjamin, and I, just in the first segment, we were talking about specialization, and we were talking about my chapter in the book called The Prodigy Sports. We were using gymnastics, figure skating, which both of us have been involved with for a million years, ballet, even tennis and soccer, where no matter how many times we tell a youngster that we want their parents to play other sports, they just don't want to. This is what they really, really want to concentrate with. And in these prodigy sports, where coaches would become almost like a Svengali, all-encompassing situation, I think is what's really, really been a big part of what's led to exactly what you're paying such attention to today, which is the athlete has to stand up. We don't want these kids living on pain medicine because of the demand to play. And as big a culprit as the coaches are, sometimes the parents are involved, and that's why I always ask professionals like yourself who work with young athletes how your sports psychology skills are, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think the parents, unfortunately, you know, there is still a major case of a coach within USA Gymnastics who was banned from the sport for close to 8 years, and, you know, the parents in a situation are just as vulnerable as the athletes. They want what's best for their kids. They can't step back sometimes and see that taking Tylenol on a daily basis isn't normal. And they can't take a step back and see the agony and the pain and the psychological changes. And, getting to know the parents when you're treating and the athletes at the same time is super important in that holistic treatment. I think the gift that I get is with the notoriety that I have, and I can walk into any gym and, you know, and give sports medicine advice. I get to really know, and these coaches really get to be honest and break down with me. And when they're not putting their good face on, if you will, for the press or for the media or for people that are around, you really kind of you see the truth. And I think that is where I have truly seen, a doctor suggests surgery or something needs to be done, and then they say, that's not possible. We have 2 weeks till we meet. Suck it up and let's go. And as much as I love my hands and the manual therapy side of things, the combination of the psychological treatment of the athlete along with injury rehab and prevention is kind of where I'm meant to be.
You know, it's interesting. We had two great quotes. Your longtime colleague, Dr. Benjamin, and myself on the first segment, which he said made a big deal out of the fact, along with what you just said, you know, that Advil is not a vitamin. I thought that was a terrific, and I combined her quote with my quote, which is the replacement of for the label performance enhancing drugs. And do you know what that replacement is?
The replacement of it? Sarcastically, I would say that pain meds replace performance-enhancing drugs these days because it just allows you to do more and then you break down.
Yes, that's why I renamed them. That's the other quote. Yeah. I renamed them, Gina, performance-surviving drugs.
Performance.
Again,
it's amazing how many parents will say they get their Tylenol at Costco. And I said, Costco, if I bought Tylenol at Costco, it would expire 10 years before I used 5% of the bottle. It's different, I think. I was just on an elite panel, very blessed to be on a panel of a bunch of physical therapists and sports medicine providers who all treat for national governing bodies and professional sports, and talking about how that fine line of decision-making, if it's a week before the Olympics and something's broken, there's a potential that my decision-making might be a bit different. Because it's one event, and if it's something that's not risky, like a pinky finger break or something, it's a very different process than if it's a spine fracture or a talus fracture or AVN or something that's going to stay with you, that's going to affect your gait and your motion while you're picking up your children and while you're walking down the stairs. I just taped one of my podcast episodes with Justin Spring, an Olympian who coaches at U of I, and he said the same thing. He said, I have pain every day just with my kids. And I try to tell these college kids, it's not worth it. You think that you're seeing the world by looking 7 days in advance, but trust me, I have your best interest at heart. And we got to make sure that you can function as a as an adult in 20 and 30 years.
I would tell some of these youngsters and their families very simply, if it's the Olympics, we'll consider you going for it. If it's anything much less than that, let's be what I call intelligent rest. Tell us some, Gina, about Achieve, the Ortho and Rehab Institute.
Yeah, so Ashraf Abdelhamid is my partner. We balance each other out very well. We're both very focused on manual therapy. Sports medicine is not just lifting and periodization, but it's a good combination of biomechanics and analysis of figuring out the motion of the injury, giving good rehab programs, but more so just allowing the athletes to have balance. Balance muscles, physical balance with proprioception, but also getting the hands-on work to reduce scar tissue. We do almost every high-end manual therapy technique there is to do. So cupping, dry needling, Grafton, blood flow restriction, BFR, joint mobilization, ART, we do everything. And we're very, very certified for the reasons that it makes our treatment more efficient. We have this huge toolbox that we can use instead of going to just two or three things. And the combination of manual, which allows you to talk and listen to the athletes as well, in addition to just pure strengthening and flexibility is great. It's that mechanics and that why, you know, if you take a skater, Bob, and you say, hey, why is my right leg hurt more than my left? Common sense would say, depending on which jump you're taking off, it's jump leg, it's landing leg, et cetera. But when you take an athlete like a runner who is should be even left to right, and they have an injury on one side of their body, you have to figure out why. And I think that figuring out or that detective work is just so enjoyable. And while doing manual therapy, you're still continuing with detective work. Because if you find certain tissues aren't moving or something's restricted, say in an ankle, like you and I share clients, we might work up the chain and really figure out, you know, what the cause is. If you land short doing a double back on floor, we know what the cause is. But if it's something chronic, sometimes that sleuthing can change an athlete's world. It can be something like, wow, I never knew that I had those restrictions for 8 years. Now that my ankles work, look at how much better I can do landings and takeoffs. Look how much better, you know, my skate position is, or its possibilities are based on figuring out the actual base of the problem and not just the symptoms.
You know, and it's interesting also where, again, we would have at younger and younger ages, you know, we were just rooting on one of my USA pairs, silver medalists in the figure skating championship that just happened, Jessica Catalan, must have been 10 years old when we first saw her, and we were talking again about the fact the athleticism of the young athletes. It's like doubled and tripled since our careers first started. We're talking with Gina Pongetti, Achieve Orthopedics, longtime therapist to so many great athletes, and we will be right back at the Sports Doc. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide. School pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and all things sports medicine, fitness, wellness. We are talking with physical therapist Gina Pongetti. We were just talking about some of the tremendous athleticism at earlier and early ages. And, you know, years ago with the famous figure skaters, Peggy Fleming, Dorothy Hamill, Katarina Vid, not one of them did triple jumps
Now we got some Russian young girls working on quad jumps. It's just a explosion of athleticism. Gina, I know you're all excited. Is this new podcast? What's going on with that?
Yeah, well, we are. I have so many experiences with so many people, Bob, just like you, and everybody from heads of organizations to physicians to former Olympians and the people that made their Olympic dreams happen, their coaches, their nutritionists, their psychologists. These are people, professionals like myself and you, who absolutely. And they would, kids who are going into medicine and parents who have kids in the sport and professionals would love to sit down for an hour with everybody and ask questions, hear their stories, and really get into some politically incorrect topics at times about pushing sports and about issues of psychology, nutrition, the balance of everything. So the podcast is interviewing. I have my guests on, and then about halfway through, they actually get to flip it around and ask me questions and interview me. So it's very interesting to see from college coaches down to medical students or people who former Olympians turned coaches who really want to know what happened in 2008 when this person got injured, or tell me about the psychology of the elite athlete and how you manage from afar. So it's an absolute mix of who I think is just the best of the best in the business throughout the country and the world. And
yeah, I'm looking for the invite.
We're not even live yet. So we are currently on the show.
I'm going to sing the foot bones connected to the ankle bone like I used to sing
to
you.
I know. You are so slick and organized.
What's the title of your new podcast?
It's called Flipped, F-L-I-P-D. So it's flipped, meaning flip in skating and gymnastics and dance, and flipped, meaning that they get to ask me questions as well. So some of them are 20 minutes long, and some we're going an hour and a half because we got a lot to talk about. So we hope when people are walking, running, driving in their cars, doing laundry, that you can pop the podcast on. And what I'm hoping, like your podcast has done for so many, is that it just triggers people thinking about certain topics, which makes people talk about things and research things. And maybe
you're an educator. You always have been.
But we both started out
about
wanting to.
You know, you're going to bring that to the table, Gina. What is the best website for people to find out about the 19 different things you're always in the middle of?
The AchieveOrthoSports.com is the local where all the clinics are. It's got a lot of great information on it, and you can schedule. And then the MedGym, which is the performing arts education platform, is medgym.net, medgym.net. And we're on all social, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube videos for education. You know, Bob, I just wanted to mention how much when I first met you years and years ago, I was still definitely on the path up if you look on, you know, a bell curve. And I just wanted to be the best PT and do the best for my clients and research. And I noticed that you were kind of already past that stage and already 50% treatment, 50% education. And you're one of the first people who inspired me to say, as much as I really want to treat as many patients as I can in a week, how much more of a depth and breadth that you can get to the world if you take some of that time away from actually doing the treatment and participate in education. So thank you so much. I mean, not that you don't make the best orthotics and do the best analysis, but when you teach somebody else how to do it, And when you teach somebody else how to do it, you're just helping so many more. So thank you for inspiring that in me so many years ago.
Well, that's so nice of you to say, Gina. It's really, really something that I really, really appreciate for someone who I respect, so highly. You know, in the two questions that everybody cares about in the world of sports medicine, including youth sports, number one, how do I prevent problems? And number two, when indicated, how do we enhance performance? And we would recommend to young athletes that facilities like yours, in order to achieve, pardon the pun, both of those goals, how young sometimes do you consider when you're talking to parents? They might be of gymnasts, it might be of figure skaters, tennis players. How young do you start recommending that they should start paying serious attention to the world of hands-on and specific game plan in order to stay out of trouble.
Our biggest thing, as you know, is that we are just at the center of your connection to everybody, not at the center of the universe for your treatment, right? So I can connect you with sports podiatry, sports psychology, chiropractic, regenerative medicine, orthopedics, nutrition, wellness, personal training. And I think that if every athlete who's serious about their sport, and that could be 8 years old and that could be 15 or 40 if you're starting out doing Ironmans, every athlete who's serious about their sport needs to have a little bit of everything. If you're good at your own nutrition, then fine. You don't need a nutritionist. But if you can do nutrition but not psychology, then you need to have a team. I think in the last couple of years, my new mantra is it's kind of a 30% rule, 30% or a third rule. A third of the time should be spent on the technical aspect of learning skills for your sport, right? Even tennis players have to go back to just try to hit the bullseye. Let's do a whole bunch of backhands, a whole bunch of forehands, gymnasts, basics, right? Then a 30% of it or a third of it needs to be spent on the mechanics of it, making sure that your body shaping and everything is perfect. And the other third of your life, so not one-tenth, which is what most people do, has to be prevention and wellness. And for some people, that's a focus on recovery. For some people, that's getting more sleep or yoga or meditation or whatever it is. But without recovery, you can try your hardest every day. And if your cells aren't responding to how hard you're trying, all you're doing is burning calories and you're not increasing anything from a neural perspective, a muscular perspective. And it's recovery. And recovery can mean standing on a sand dune or standing on something and just working proprioception on your day off and allowing your body to come back to balance. Recovery can be using our cryo unit and physically helping yourself to recover. It can be massage.
The new
or
medicine.
Hands-on.
But yes, it's such sure, a big, I mean, important doing... part of sports medicine is the idea of recovery. I wanted to ask you, too, you know, you talk about the performing arts. I know you've always been in the middle of that. Shows would come in. And you would make a very big deal to so many individuals who were on these stage shows that they had to look at themselves as athletes. I mean, we'd see some of these dancing shows and the tremendous physicality, and you were in the middle of all of that education too, weren't you? You still are.
Absolutely. And on the shows, I mean, I just did an interview with someone at a performing arts college on, you know, what it is to be a performing arts PT. We're looking at diaphragmatic breathing. We're looking at neck position, warm-ups, and cool down. If somebody had a cough or a cold, how does that affect your breathing and your stage performance? You know, we pay attention to baseball players and how they swing the same direction over and over again. But yet, if you're in Shrek and you're the donkey and you're dancing with the same motion over and over again, it's athletics, it's endurance, it's just different. So we're looking at these dances on these shows like Mary Poppins, where their heart rates are up at 170 in the middle of the big rooftop tap scene, as stressful to a body as a short program in skating. And the more you do it, the more you acclimate to it, but the more you do it, the more overuse there is. So there's this fine line between performance. I mean, they're doing the same thing.
Yes, get me vetted tomorrow, Gina.
Right.
Thank
well,
you
they
so
want to be
much.
Because they want to be back on stage, and there's a lot of stress from production companies. The athletes, of course, want to be back because they have goals. They have Olympics. They have college.
Gina,
they have everything. And the actors
Gina,
want
give
to
me
be
the
back
website.
On stage.
Give me the website
Achieve Ortho
quickly
Sports.
Again.
Yep, AchieveOrthoSports.com and MedGym.net. Please sign up for podcast updates and visit our YouTube channel for all kinds of videos too. I'm super excited to have you on soon, and we will announce that.
Great. Gina Pongetti, chain it to the stars. Gina, hold on. We'll be right back, everybody, with the Sports Doctors In segment. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com, Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness, right-fit.com. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Sports Doctors In segment, live from Chicago, where we preview a couple of upcoming shows and then answer a few emails. Next week, Anne Marchetti, who is one of the executive directors of the Group Forward, which is a childhood obesity prevention, education-oriented program throughout at least DuPage County in the Chicago, Illinois area. They've been one of the leaders in this whole challenge of childhood obesity. We'll be excited to have her back. Then we're going to talk some CBD, some of the philosophies and indications. Dave Lutzak, he's one of the regional managers for that particular group that caters to podiatry. The following week, we're going to be talking with CEO Susan Hertzberg of the exciting company BrainScope, again, in the world of concussion analysis and awareness. And then Rich Dubin, one of our supporters with Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazine, will be our guest. And we're going to talk a lot about the new issue of MVP Parent Magazine. And we have a few emails here. I have one from Patty. My son is a 14-year-old cross-country runner. For the past almost three seasons, we've had shin problems. They've called it shin splints. It's really been a problem. You know, Patty, shin splints is not a medical term. You can have a stress fracture in the shins. You can have a muscle tendon inflammation, bone bruise, etc. So you need a specific diagnosis. Assuming it's overuse of those areas related to running, very often these problems are foot-related. For years, we have put orthotics in runner shoes to solve shin concerns. When the foot mechanics, as an example, excessively pronates, rolls in, collapses excessively, then we are putting strain on the muscles that help control or slow those motions down. And this is where orthotics come in. And usually we're looking to combine that, again, with the attention to, is this the best shoe for him? And also to be looking seriously at physical therapy, strengthening and rehab. So have that looked at. Check with podiatry. Tom says persistent ball of the foot calluses. I've had podiatry trimming them down for years. It's always helped. Would orthotics help? Almost always, Tom, redistributing weight around or away from the areas getting this excessive stress, the building up of calluses, can be very, very helpful. Many times we'll see that the consistency and recurrence of the calluses can really be reduced. Most of the time, calluses that form on pressure or bony areas, imagine if it's under the ball of the foot, under the big toe, if it's a callus under another specific metatarsal, usually there is a mechanical overstress to that area, which can be counterbalanced. So absolutely, you can get some help. See podiatry. John says, you know, you've quoted in the past talking about shoes that about 50% are not fit properly. Is that even close? You know, John, it is. For years, even athletes we've seen
usually width-related concerns, but sometimes also other fit and depth-related concerns are involved, especially with people who depend on, well, I'm going to get the same size over the counter and I'm not going to be fit. So we recommend everybody be fit properly for both feet by groups and stores that have people who are trained to do that. And this is something that we really, really want to pay big attention to. And a good idea almost always is wear the shoes you buy, specifically if they're sports shoes, running shoes, walking shoes, wear them around the house, or whether they are sports shoes for your sons or daughters, have them wear them around the house for a day or two. If comfortable, you own them. If not, you could still bring them back. This is something that amazingly is still much more prevalent than we ever expected. So many people not fit properly and then having problems regardless of which particular sport or which particular shoe. Bill says, you know, my 12-year-old daughter has had these pump bumps on the back of her heels. She's a figure skater. They've been problematic. What should we pay paying attention to? We heard the term Haglund's. You know, Haglund's is a medical term for an enlarged back of the heel bone, usually at the top of the back of the heel bone. And when it's in a tight skate, a boot, it can be irritated by any type of excessive motion. So right off the bat, we would say to you, Bill, have your bootmaker punch out the back of the skate where the bump is, and then also be paying attention, especially these areas hurt, to the possibility of orthotics, because we've had great success, even when the bumps hurt, of controlling the kind of motion that is putting stress on that area, especially in a almost a cast-like skate or boot. So you want to pay attention in that particular case to be having the bootmaker again punch out that back with almost a window-like punch out. Sometimes we'll pad around those areas with like eighth-inch padding, but we've had great success with orthotics over the years being able to control that motion. Many times we see this is one of the key concerns in that regard. A little bit of further information, again, regarding a topic we talked about with our guests today, which is the problem with youth sports and drugs. The challenge and problem of over-the-counter pain medicine to stay in the game, to try to keep up, to try to push through problems that might be persistent or recurring, overuse injuries, et cetera. My first guest, Dr. Benjamin, had a great line. She said she tells the young athletes all the time that Advil is not a vitamin. And this is such a big deal because, again, we see with our society who are bombarded with advertisements. We're one of only two countries in the world. New Zealand's the other. That allows TV advertising of prescription drugs and or over-the-counter drugs, the pain medicine drugs, the routine use. So many kids grow up with that assumption that it's okay, their parents many times. So, again, my last bottom line before we end the show is if your son or daughter needs pain medicine to continue to play or participate, you're over the line. Back off. I want to thank everybody for listening. Happy Super Bowl week. Live from Chicago. See you next week. It's the Sports Doctor.